Stay tuned for Bob Inyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Inyart with our Denver Bible Church update. I enjoy talking about Paul's letters because, you know, Paul has a message that's a little bit different than other writers of the Bible. Now, how could that be? Well, God occasionally changed things for his people. Like with Adam and Eve, he said, first eat all vegetables and fruits, all the herbs of the garden. And then after the flood, he said, now you can eat all meat, every animal you could eat. That was different. When Cain murdered Abel, God said, don't execute the murderer. And then after the flood, God changed that and said, execute all murderers, all convicted murderers. So God at times changed some very fundamental rules. Like God said to Abraham, you have to circumcise. Otherwise, any Jewish male who's not circumcised will be cut off from God's covenant. And then the Apostle Paul says, for us in the body of Christ, if you're circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. It doesn't mean you won't be saved, but you're messed up spiritually. You don't know what you're doing. You're trying to follow rules that God gave to Israel, and you're in the body. Now, if you're circumcised for cultural reasons, that's fine. But Paul says, don't circumcise for theological reasons. If you are, you're confused. And if you're confused, you're not living by law. You're not living by grace. You're living by law. So in Galatians chapter 4, there's this fascinating section where Paul, he's talking about Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. And the bondwoman was, the child was according to the flesh, and the free woman was according to promise. So the bondwoman was Hagar, and her son was Ishmael. And the free woman was Sarah, and that child was Isaac. And Paul says in Galatians 4:24, these things are symbolic, for there are the two covenants. And he talks about the Ten Commandments. And guess which child Paul compares the Ten Commandments to? Does he compare the Ten Commandments and that covenant to Isaac and the son of the free woman through promise? Or does he compare the Ten Commandments, the covenant from Mount Sinai, does he compare it to Ishmael and the son of the bondwoman through the flesh? Well, Paul says right here, he says the two children, the one by the bondwoman through the flesh, the other by the free woman through promise, these things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, that is the Ten Commandments, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai. But then he goes on to explain that we, brethren, we're in the body of Christ. We, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So that's why Paul says then a few verses later, if you become circumcised, Christ has profited you nothing, for you become a debtor to keep the whole law. And that the law is the tutor to bring us to Christ. But once you have Christ, you're no longer under the tutor, right? That's in Galatians chapter 3, that before faith came, we were under the law. But then the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. And after faith has come, we're no longer under the law. Now, so many Christians are not quite sure what does that all mean. And if you ask them, are you better off if you keep the Ten Commandments? Now, what percentage of Christians will say yes? But they don't understand. They're putting themselves under a covenant of bondage. It wasn't bondage for Israel because it was their covenant, but it's bondage for us because we have the covenant of grace. And so that's why Paul, and only Paul, through all the writers of the Bible, tells us all these negative consequences of being under the law. So if you're interested in that topic, call in sometime. For now, hey, come on out to Denver Bible Church and stay tuned now for Bob Inyart Live.
Beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. I'd like to talk about Mel Gibson's dad with his quotes about the Holocaust, and this just the week before the movie The Passion opens up. Now, our Sunday night Bible study here in Denver, we're going to go to see The Passion as a group. Now, February 28th is the debate on the age of the earth that I'm involved in. That's a Saturday. And this is a leap year, right? Every 4 years, except for century years, except for every fourth century year, except for on the every other millennium, something like that. Anyway, this is a leap year, so there's 29 days in February. And so February 29th is a Sunday. So Sunday night, the 29th, instead of having our Denver Bible Church Bible study, we're going to go see Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, as a group. And then afterward, we'll go out and talk about it. It'll be a neat night of fellowship. And by the way, you're invited. If you don't come to Denver Bible Church, make sure that night you come on out so we could all go together and we'll have a good time. But so I want to talk about Mel's dad and his comments he made about, well, he's an anti-Semite, and so we'll get to that. But then also we've got Laura Bush and things that she's said about homosexual marriages. We'll read it and see what you can see in between the lines, and also on abstinence education for kids. I don't know how anybody could mess up abstinence education, but it's possible. But first, hey, Viacom. Viacom is the media conglomerate that owns CBS, and they also own, 180 radio stations, Infinity radio stations around the country. And CBS had the Super Bowl fiasco with Jackson, one of the Jackson sisters, Janet Jackson. And so the official at Viacom who oversees their broadcast operations, their 180 radio stations and CBS, he was furious with what's been going out over the air. Now, I don't know how he could be. They air the Howard Stern show. He doesn't know that? But he had a conference call, a company-wide conference call, with all 180 radio station general managers online. And his name is Mel Karmazin. And he read the Riot Act to all his general managers. And this is a story that's where was this? Out in the Hollywood News? No, this here comes from the New York Post. The New York Post. And he said that if they violate the company's new policy on obscenity, they'll be fired. The general managers of the radio stations. He said the company now has a zero tolerance policy on obscenity. And if any of their radio stations violate it, the GMs will be fired. Now, how could that be? They've aired Howard Stern for how many years? But you know what's happened with the Super Bowl? It's like what Bin Laden did in Al-Qaeda on 9/11. They overplayed their hand. They overplayed their hand, and they really did it this time. But as a result, they've lost two countries because Iraq and Afghanistan were terrorist havens. And so they lost the government in Afghanistan, and they lost a huge ally in Saddam Hussein in Iraq. And so too with the Super Bowl. The perverts in the mainstream media, like if some perverts come to mind, who would you list? Bill O'Reilly, right? local in Colorado, Mike Rosen on KOA, who from time to time will say that he enjoys good quality pornography. And I wonder how his wife and daughters feel about that. But anyway, in O'Reilly, because his show, my wife sent him an email last night saying that, why is it, O'Reilly, that you do these segments every night about how the media is over-sexualizing our society, and every night you air footage of strippers and hookers and whatever so that we turn off your show. It's just voyeuristic. You're like a dirty old man leering at women under the guise of saying tisk tisk, they shouldn't be doing that as you air it. So anyway, but I find it fascinating that according to the New York Post, Karmazin, is that how you pronounce his name? Viacom President Mel Karmazin. He said to the general managers of these 180 Infinity radio stations, he said, if you don't comply with the new zero tolerance policy on obscenity, you'll be fired for cause. This company will not be a poster child for indecency. That's interesting. So then he sent out a memo, and the memo says, quote, according to the New York Post, any station airing programming that has any sexual or excretory content needs to take whatever steps are necessary to make sure that the programming is not even arguably indecent. When in doubt, leave it out, the memo said, which also ordered all stations to install delay units, you know, the 7-second delays that are common in the industry, for on-the-fly censoring immediately. And stations were told to seek consultation with counsel if they have any questions about anything explicit. But what, they're going to keep Howard Stern on the air? At Columbine, I didn't hear it, but I was told by parents of kids who were killed at Columbine that Howard Stern said on the air right after Columbine that why would Klebold and Harris kill the girls without raping them first? That's Howard Stern, who for any number of reasons should be put to death. All right, let's now one of our favorite Christian activists is on line three here in Denver. Joe Scott, how are you, Joe?
I'm fine. How are you, Bob?
Good. Wife of the famous Ken Scott.
That's right.
Ken and Joe Scott. Hey, Joe, we've got a break here. If you could hold on a moment. Sorry, I just introduced you. I wanted to let the audience know you're coming. We'll be back in a moment.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Hey, February is our telethon month. Once we hit our goals, then we could stop talking about it. I'm looking forward to that. Our goal is $4,000 to raise and then $1,000 in monthly pledges. And here's where we're at so far. We are at $2,350 toward the $4,000. So that's getting close, huh? We're just $650 away from the 3,000 mark, and that'd be 75% toward the goal. And for the monthly pledges, we are at $220 a month, And so if you would like to help Bob and Yurt Live, we're hoping to be financially stable so that we have good reason to believe that we'll be on the air by next year. And we do this to stay on the air in Denver on KLTT, 670 AM, every February. And so when we meet those goals, then we could go to, you know, more show content and more fun. So help us. We need your help to stay on the air. Call us 800-8-N-YARTS or go to KGOV.com. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS. And Joe Scott, hey Joe, how you guys are? You and your husband Ken are among the full-time Christian activists here in Denver. And I'd like to know. I know you guys were at the pro homosexual marriage rally in Denver last weekend.
Bob, I can't hear you.
All right, we'll try to boost
the music only.
Music only. Let's mute the music. That's where we got to mute the music. All right. How's that, Joe?
I can't hear you, Bob.
Could you mute that music? It's muted. I could still hear it.
It's off. I can hear you.
All right. It's a curse, Joe.
Yeah.
We've been cursed by the demons from the pit of hell.
Yes.
I think a legion of them have relocated into our Gettner phone system.
I think so.
In our Mackie mixer board.
Yeah.
That's a Mackie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll get that figured out eventually. We're doing our best to get engineers here. But anyway, Joe, what happened at the homosexual marriage rally with the mayor of Denver?
Yeah, with Hickenlooper and Diana DeGette and that goofy Danny Newsom.
Yeah.
Well, first, I think Diana DeGette was the first one to talk, saying that the same people that own slaves that were against interracial marriage that are now trying to stop homosexuals from marrying. And
the same people who owned slaves.
Yeah, and tried to stop interracial marriage. So apparently there's a lot of really old people around.
Yeah, that's right. As far as I know, I don't know how far back in my family history I've got to go to where we own slaves.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm from New Jersey.
Right, and I'm part American Indian and Irish, so.
Hey, well, the American Indians own black slaves, Joe. At least some of them.
Yeah.
So, see.
They owned one another as slaves, too. But
yeah, that's true. I'm Italian, German, and Dutch.
Oh.
So how many slaves? You know, Europe had slaves like America did. And they got rid of their slaves without a civil war for the most part. But anyway, back to reality. So they're saying basically that we are hateful.
Well, they actually called us haters.
We're haters.
Mean-spirited haters.
Because we're standing up and saying homosexuality is wrong. It's destructive. It should not be approved of.
Right.
It should be restigmatized, recriminalized, and people should repent of the behavior.
Exactly. And that Ken and I were in the middle of the crowd, and we both had signs that said repent.
Repent.
Yeah, that's all they said.
Well, that's good. That's one of the three the three R's for restigmatize, recriminalize, and repent.
Right. And it didn't go over well. There was over 1,000 people. The paper said 2,000. I don't know if there were that many, but there were plenty.
Well, you know the rule of thumb in the media, if it's a pro-life event, estimated.
Yeah, three showed up.
Cut it in half.
Yeah.
And if it's a homo event, double it.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so in San Francisco, they're marrying homosexuals. So here, this was at the city and county building?
Right.
And the mayor of Denver was there.
And he spoke about how they should have the same rights as anyone else. He wants them to get insurance benefits and benefits for anything that any married couple would have, and to stop that would be mean-spirited, mm-hmm. would not promote the health of the city.
But, hey, Joe, now we know that that's wrong, right? That's
right.
Wrong. But could you see how that's a natural consequence of the conservative Christian policy on homosexuality?
Absolutely. That's what was so frustrating.
Because conservative Christians have thrown out 3,500 years of homosexuality being criminal with
right.
Moses through Jesus and Paul to our founding fathers to the 1960s through 80s. Homosexuality has been a crime. And then the homosexuals, the humanists, Hollywood and Hillary decided to legalize it. And the whole Christian community has agreed with Hillary that homosexuality should be legal.
Right, and should be equal. Well, once you tell them they can be equal, what are you going to tell them they can't do?
Yeah, right. The slogan from Colorado for Family, what was the group called? Will Perkins Group and Kevin Thibodeau for Amendment 2. It was Colorado Family Values.
Hmm.
Colorado for Family Values. And their slogan to pass Amendment 2 was equal rights, not special rights for homosexuals.
Right.
And James Dobson, Focus on the Family, they helped to promote that slogan. And that's an example of losing, of winning the battle and losing the war. So we passed the amendment, and the Christian conservatives nationwide, because that was a nationwide fight, that
right.
got a lot of nationwide attention. And the Christian conservatives in Colorado, and then through James Dobson's ministry, who he's a neat Christian guy, and he's led a lot more people to the Lord than I ever will. But through this confusion, he helped to teach the country and the Christians first that homosexuals should have equal rights.
That's right. We shot ourselves in the foot before it even started. And you can't talk to most Christian conservatives on this issue because they think you're hateful.
Right, right. And there's no way Christianity and homosexuality, public Christianity and public homosexuality are mutually exclusive.
Right.
You can't have both.
No.
So one or the other is going to dominate. And if we have publicly promoted homosexuality, then the Christian conservative at work is either going to have to agree that homosexuality should be condoned, or he's going to be discriminated against, and they're going to try to fire him, which has happened who knows how many times across the country.
Right.
Yeah.
And the argument I get from most Christians now is, hey, it's inevitable. Why are you even bothering?
Right. And that's the same thing with black slavery. You know, many Christians said, hey, there's nothing you could do about it. It's part of the economy. Just live with it. But there was the Underground Railroad and the Christians like Harriet Tubman who said, no, it's wrong. We're going to try to stop it. And they're the heroes. And the other Christians have come down through history to be not only wrong, but really the losers.
And shamed.
Yeah.
Shamed. They were shamed and make all Christians look bad. But that's the argument I've been having with Christians lately, just
yeah.
trying to get anyone to go out with us on Saturday. Was an exercise in futility.
So having Hickenlooper say equal rights for homosexuals, that was the Focus on the Family slogan.
Right.
That was Colorado for Family Values slogan.
Right.
So they're just saying to us Christians, they're saying, hey, be consistent. You said equal rights, so we want equal rights. We want to write the textbooks for the kids in school. We want to teach kindergarten and first grade. We homosexuals and lesbians do. We want to coach the boys' wrestling team and the girls' volleyball teams. We do.
We want to be scoutmasters.
Right.
That's just insane that Christians could even have let it get this far.
Right. And we want to walk through the park holding hands and smooching in front of your kids. We,
yeah.
because we have equal rights.
In San Francisco, they put in a bill when I lived in California. They wanted more shrubs in the park so they could have more sex in the shrubs.
Right.
I mean, that was...
Yeah, and rest stops along highways all
right.
around the country are homosexual gathering places. Because homosexuality is different than heterosexuality. And with men, anonymous, despicable, deadly, dangerous sex is commonplace.
And they're recruiting Christian kids now. And once they get the right to marry, what's going to stop them from having the right to teach in a Christian school?
Yeah, right.
You think they're going to stop?
Right, right, exactly. And like in Canada, you can't read a Bible verse that says homosexuality is an abomination. You can't read that from the Bible on Canadian radio or TV.
Not without facing a jail sentence.
Right. It's against the law.
Yeah.
That just like my show, Bob and Eric Live, we were on satellite for years, and a couple Canadian radio stations wanted to pick it up. They could not. It was against their Canadian FCC up there.
Right. And the people at the rally, the homosexuals at the rally, you know, they have this really thin veneer of calm, almost syrupy niceness.
Yeah.
But it's a very thin veneer.
And it breaks through real quickly.
Oh, very, very quickly. And they have no impulse control, none. And then we knew that going into this.
Yeah, you know, I could tell you stories about that too, but in other words, they become vulgar, angry, hateful.
Aggressive, violent, vicious.
Right, ripping out signs, knocking people to the ground.
Spitting.
Spitting. I've been spit on at homosexual.
They'll throw a cup of something at you. You don't know if it's urine. You don't know what it is.
Right.
You know,
unbelievably despicable. We were at an event in Boulder where homosexuals had a Catholic church up in Boulder, they were meeting, the Boulder Queer Collective had their regular meetings at this Catholic church. And so there were Catholics that were upset about that, understandably. So I went with some of them to do a protest, and they called the police against these Catholics who were in a Catholic church praying.
Right.
So the police came, and they removed by force the Catholics who were praying in the Catholic church to leave the homosexuals to do their perverse planning and scheming.
Right.
And the police grabbed Matt Noah, one of the Catholic protesters who was there, and they started dragging him out, and he went limp
like an abortion protest.
Yeah, nonviolent. He went limp, and they're dragging him out. I was sitting just feet away, and they got him out of the main room and into a hallway toward going outside at night. Mm-hmm. And they started using pain compliance on him, where they twisted his arms behind his back. When he finally got outside the front door, his eyeglasses were broken. And anyway, when they twisted his arm, he let out a blood-curdling scream because it hurt him bad.
Yeah.
And as soon as he screamed, the entire – it must have been 150 homos at that meeting.
Yeah.
They instantly cheered, a roaring cheer and applause.
They feed on it. They
and I could
feed on violence.
I could compare that to a pro-life event where if a pro-abort slips and gets hurt, everyone is instantly feeling sorry for that person. Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be a cheer for the police beating up a pro-abort.
No.
No.
No, that's not our goal. Our goal is to get them saved and also save the babies.
But. Yeah. So, all right. So, Joe, so they were bad, huh?
Oh. I was shake, Bob. I don't shake.
Yeah.
Nothing usually frightens me. Saturday, I was frightened because they were coming at me by fives and sixes, and they were all so angry that, you know, when someone is so angry they can't control the spit coming out of their mouth.
Right.
I mean, I just felt like I needed a spit shield.
Yeah.
And they were telling me, "You're condemning me." I said, "No, I'm not. Jesus already did. I'm here to tell you how to get to heaven." I wanted to get out of there alive. I wasn't going to say anything too abrasive.
Yeah, right.
And they had signs with Bible scripture on it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they persecute me, they'll persecute you.
Right.
I said, "Do you understand that Jesus wasn't talking about homosexuals there?"
Yeah.
So it was just...
He was talking about godliness.
Godliness.
All right. Hey, Joe, we're going to the bottom of the hour here in 10 seconds.
Okay.
So do you want to hang on?
Well, hey, do you know where your son is tonight?
What son?
Nathaniel.
Where?
I'll have to tell you after the break.
After my son? All right, hold on. We'll be right back. Bob Inyard here with a live commercial break. For those tuning in via KGov, hey, the KGov website is doing better. Last summer, I let people know how many unique visits we got. What was it? How many visits per month? And how many unique? Yeah, let me see that. How many unique visits per month? And it's gone up substantially. We used to get per week about 2,500 visits a week, not hits, but visits, people coming to the site. And now it's up to about 3,500 visits per week. That's pretty neat. So Bob and Yurt Live airs on KGov, also on the web, and the archives are out there. Hey, and it's surprising the percentage of people that visit the archives. We just got that here on our that's pretty – 60. For example, last week, 60 people went to the archives to listen to shows. That's pretty cool. Out of 3,500 visits. So our KGov website is doing better. Last summer, we were at about 2,500 visits per week, and now we're up to about 3,500. And it's interesting how many come from search engines and websites around the world, many in Europe. It's really interesting. So anyway, if you enjoy Bob and Yurt Live, if you miss a show, you could go to kgov.com and pick up a missed show. So that's one announcement I wanted to make. Another announcement is that there's a rally, a pro-family rally in Denver on the west steps of the Capitol downtown at 11:15 tomorrow morning. If you can go to that, that's Friday morning. That'll be fun, right? 11:15? Jason, we should try to go. Will you be working? No, maybe Jason Troy will be there. All right, we'll be right back. Bob Inyard here. We're going back to Joe Scott, but this rally tomorrow in Denver on the west steps of the Capitol, a pro-family rally at 11:15. That should be fun. All right, so Joe Scott, you said, do I know where Nathaniel is, my son?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's in jail.
He's in jail?
Yep.
My son?
He's in Sacramento.
In Sacramento?
Yep.
California?
Yeah, I got a call earlier this afternoon. They said Nathaniel's in jail.
Well, wait a minute now. He's been out with survivors, and they're
right.
a youth Christian activist group.
Uh-huh.
They fight against abortion, evolution, homosexuality. And they went to San Francisco to protest against this homosexual marriages
right
deal. And so he got arrested there.
Yep.
Oh, boy. What did he do, my son?
They walked into the building where they're giving out the licenses to marry.
Yeah, at City Hall.
City Hall.
Yeah.
And they knelt down and started singing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus."
Oh.
And some of them went limp and some of them didn't go. And they were using pain compliance to get the kids out. And
ooh.
Every now and then they'll pick one or two kids to arrest. And Nathaniel was one and another young man named Mike.
All right.
He was arrested.
And so, wow. You know, I knew he was going there. And survivors from time to time, they do protest where they do sometimes get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they weigh the morality of it and whether or not what they're doing would honor God.
Right.
And if it wouldn't honor God, it's their determination not to do it.
Right.
But in the Bible, you know, a lot of the prophets and apostles, they got arrested. Hey, guess who's on another line here? Keith Mason.
Oh, I'll let you go so you can talk to him.
Director of Survivors.
Yeah, I find out about Nathaniel.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay. God bless you and your husband, Ken. All right, now, survivors, my 18-year-old son Nathaniel joined up, and Keith Mason runs Survivors, and he's a Denver Bible Church alumnus. And he and his wife, Jennifer, moved to California, and they were going to San Francisco to stand up against this perversion of issuing marriage licenses to homosexual couples. And I knew my son Nathaniel was going, And now I find out from Joe Scott that Nathaniel is in jail. Hey, Keith, what's up? My son's in jail. My son goes out to be with you, and he's in jail?
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble, huh?
What happened? No, Keith, you're not in jail, and I admire my son. He should put it on his resume.
Yeah, seriously, huh?
Yeah. So what happened? Tell us.
Well, you know, we were out here, and actually this past week, we do the pro-life ministry on college campuses and high school campuses around the country, and this past week we actually had street preachers come down to join us from all around the country for a week.
Cool.
And so here I have 15 guys just going to these college campuses, and like we go to UCLA and we bring out our pictures of abortion,
mm-hmm.
aborted fetuses, and so all the gay guys come out, all the fags come out.
Oh no!
And it's like, well this doesn't have much to do with the your same sex marriage deal. What's up with that?
Right.
And boy, we figured we're so close to San Francisco. We're in Los Angeles, a 6-hour drive, but so close than we would be if we were in Colorado. Boy, it would be neat to get up there.
Mm.
And after we're reading about it and just kind of talking about it, we said, wow, we better just get up there. Felt really convicted to just come on up and do whatever we could. We didn't know what we'd be able to do, but we decided to come up here and try and figure out something to do. So we I haven't slept in almost a day and a half now.
Oh, wow.
Because we did a college and a high school, and then we jumped in the van and drove to San Francisco.
Mm.
So we got here this morning. I'm in San Francisco right now. Matter of fact, Bob, I'm driving around trying to find your son.
Oh, really? So he was arrested? How did that happen?
So, well, basically, nobody was doing anything up there, virtually nobody.
No Christians were protesting at the site?
Right.
All right.
Right. I mean, we came up to it, and some crazy guy was up there, and I don't know what he was talking. He's talking in a foreign language. And some other guy that was saying how he loves the homosexuals. And he says, just, well, whatever you are, whatever, it's fine. And so he was there. And it was actually as we arrived at the city hall here in San Francisco, I seen, a few thousand gay people, couples, lined up around the,
mm-hmm.
the block of the city hall in total tranquility.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside the city hall, it was peaceful, and it was very. It seemed to have somewhat of a superficial happiness around it.
Yeah, right. And whenever whenever liberals are destroying the country, they want to do it in tranquility, with peace and with no opposition.
Right.
That's the way they like to do child killing. And
exactly,
so,
whatever perversion they're involved with. So,
right.
So we came across this, and I just thought to myself, this can't be. So we all decided that we would march in there and do what we could, whatever was in our power, to try and stop the lawlessness that was going on. Because actually there was a court order to cease and desist from the San Francisco Superior Court.
Mm-hmm.
To cease and desist this act of civil disobedience against the California mm-hmm. legislature and government.
Right.
So we marched right into City Hall, and we tried to gather as many news cameras as we could. CNN was one of them. BBC was one of them. All the top guys,
Mm-hmm.
and we marched through, and it wasn't too hard to get past the sissies that were guarding the door to the the office to go get married at,
Right.
So we just walked right past them, and we all knelt down and started singing gospel hymns in front of the in front of the doors, and we blocked the doors. We prevented a couple from getting in.
Wow.
And needless to say, the San Francisco Sheriff's Department didn't like that.
No, I guess they wouldn't.
And so
they would side with the homosexuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
who are breaking the law. The police will side with the homosexuals who are breaking the law over against the Christians who are trying to enforce the law anytime. And this time they did also.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, that's how it happened. We all were trying to stand up for what's right. They ended up keeping your son and another gentleman named Michael, who's head of a group called RepentAmerica.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I guess I got a call not too long ago. They just got out of jail. So praise God. We're picking them up.
So my son's out of jail.
He's out of jail, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Boy,
so you got some good, some bad news and then some good news.
That's
all
right.
The show.
You don't even know it. Your kid is going through an important time in his life, and you turn around and it's over with. It's a rite of passage as a Christian to have the honor to stand with Christ for what is right. And, Keith, in Christianity in America, many Christians really look down on somebody, like it's beneath the average Christian to actually go in the streets and tell people, don't destroy your life, it's wrong. Repent.
Right.
So that
right.
If John the Baptist were here, do you think he'd get a good welcome and have a good reputation among the average Christian circle of friends?
Of course not.
John the Baptist, no, he'd be, people would scorn him. And the same thing with Elijah. They just wouldn't like him. And
exactly.
Even Abraham, I think, was a little too harsh for the average Christian. Remember Abraham's nephew was kidnapped, and Abraham got all his servants, and everybody was armed, and he went after the kidnappers and killed them, routed them, and got all the victims and all the booty and brought it all back. And God really liked Abraham. And David
right.
did things like that. And I'm not saying we Christians should be vigilantes. We shouldn't, because back then they were the government. They were the law. But God liked that.
That's right.
Today, we Christians, you said the homosexuals are sissies. We're sissies.
That's right. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so. Where are the men in the church? Today, you have to be a girly man to be approved by the Christian community. You have
that's
to
right.
be sort of effeminate. And if
and
you
maybe that's why a lot of the Christian church wasn't out here today, is because the homosexual community has influenced the church so much. So.
And more than the church has influenced the homosexual community, that's for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a sad thing, but I'm glad to hear my son is out of jail.
Yeah, yep, he's out.
All right. Hey, Keith, thank you so much for the report.
Yeah, no problem. And next week we're back to pro-life work as scheduled.
All right. Hey, anybody think about trying to marry, going to a pet store and buying a gerbil and bringing it in there and saying you want to get married?
I thought about it. I really fell in love with a gerbil I seen in a mall the other day.
Yeah.
But my wife talked me out of it.
Oh, no. Maybe somebody in your group will go ahead and try to marry a gerbil, see what the mayor of San Francisco does. We'll be back after this. Bob Enyart here. By the way, if you'd like to find out more about Survivors or support them, they're at survivors.la, because they're headquartered in Los Angeles, right? So it's not survivors.com, it's survivors.la. Survivors.com is probably that stupid TV show. I don't know. I would guess. But survivors.la is this neat Christian activist group. Okay. So I gave the update, right, where we're at in our telethon with our goals. Our goals are $4,000 and $1,000 a month in pledges. And as of right now, and this is our February telethon, and wouldn't it be great if we – now, what is it, February 19th? Boy, so we're just eking along, aren't we? $2,350 is what we've raised, and – for pledges, $220 a month. Now, that might make some people think we're not going to hit our goal, because because it's already the 19th. But what did we say earlier? This is a leap year. We have an extra day. Well, it's a Saturday, Sunday. It's a Sunday. That's not going to help us. So we need your help, and we need it now, if at all possible. If you can give, you know, there's probably somebody out there who could give $500 or maybe $1,000. Could you imagine if somebody gave $1,000? That would bring us up to $3,350 within $650 of our goal. And that, and then other people could come along and fill in the gap, and we'd meet our goal. And then we'd be done with that, and we could only work on the monthly pledges. And, you know, some people might want to subscribe to our monthly videos. You get a video a month for $24.95, or sermons, the monthly sermons, or the monthly Bible study album, one album a month for $34.95 a month. And if you subscribe to any of those, it'll go to our monthly, to our telethon goal here. So please call us and help out. You could go on the store at the web at KGOV.com, or call us at 1-800-836-9278. After the show, I'll be here for a half hour. So you could call and make a pledge then. I'll be here. Thanks a lot. All right, Bob Enyard here. So boy, I have to find out on the air what happens to my son. Nathaniel is 18, and I'm very proud of him. My other son, Josiah, Cheryl and I, we have seven boys between us. We are both tragically previously divorced, and we both had two boys. And when I was looking to get married, after, by the way, for those who are newer to the show, I've talked about my previous marriage and how the divorce was my fault and I destroyed my marriage. And so I was looking for a wife, and I wanted a woman who had two kids, because I thought, I'm going to want her to love my kids. And if she has two kids, then I could love her kids and be an example to her. And so anyway, it's really worked well. Aside from the difficulties our culture has given us, as far as Cheryl and I and our children go, it's gone great. But we have seven boys between us. Well, actually, I have five boys and she has five boys. And so that makes seven, right? Yeah, that's how that works. But we're blessed to no end with our kids. And my 18-year-old boy, my oldest, is getting married first week in April in New York. And I'm performing the wedding. So that's going to be fun. Now, who's going to do the show that week? Just thought of that. I'm not a very organized type person. But so we're going to go to New York for the wedding. And Nathaniel's in jail in California. And Anthony's married and having the first baby in a couple months, and everybody's doing great. Let's go to, where are we going here? Westminster, Colorado. Carl, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. I wanted to ask about the gathering tomorrow that you've been mentioning.
Yes.
I know in the past you've said things about different bills on legislation on abortion, that sort of thing, how we should be careful with legislation that appears to be helpful, but...
All right, and Carl, if you could speak up a little.
Sure thing.
Thanks.
Previous legislation on abortion, things like that, that appear to be helpful, but the Christians support and end up doing more damage than good.
Yeah, and Tom Tancredo is one of the organizers or speakers of the rally, and he's a nice guy, but I don't think he generally knows what the solution to a serious problem is.
Right, well, the question specifically is... The rally tomorrow, from what I understand, is to lend some heavy support to the constitutional amendment.
The federal constitutional amendment.
Right.
Process.
And, yeah, from what I understand, that amendment actually lends credence to homosexual civil unions.
Civil unions. Well, I have heard that reported also, and I imagine what will happen over the next some months is that the proposed wording of such an amendment will probably go through revisions. But and there are some Christian groups that are speaking up and saying that amendment must not codify civil unions. And those Christian groups that are speaking up, and we should be one of them, and we will be, but most likely we're not going to win on that. But maybe we will.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that Christians go into this tomorrow. I know I was invited as well, and I thought if it's actually going to be supporting such wording that there's no way I would even consider it.
Yeah, right. I agree with you 100%. So if any Christians go tomorrow, we should try to communicate to the legislators there that there is no way an amendment could support homosexual civil unions.
Yeah.
Or to win the battle, we will have lost the war.
Exactly.
Right. We will have declared defeat.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify that.
Good. Thank you, Carl.
Thanks a lot.
And there we have the brightest audience in Colorado. In the country. Perhaps. We should issue a challenge to any other talk show host. If you think you have a brighter audience, then we can come up with a quiz and ask the questions on the air to the callers and see which audience scores higher. Wouldn't that be fun? We should try that sometime. All right. Hey, you know what we used to do? Jason, like the sports zoo? Oh, yeah, they got a bright audience. They, years ago, we used to call other talk shows that were on at the same time we were on while both shows were on the air. On the air, we'd call them. And we should do that again. That would be fun. All right. Oh, so, Mel Gibson's father is a real sad and tragic case where he is a racist, and his name is Hutton Gibson. He's 85 years old. The sad thing is he probably is not senile, but he's a racist. And he says that the Holocaust, the Germans killing millions of Jews, that never happened. The concentration camps were just work camps. You get that? Just work camps? How many people did the Russians, the Soviets, kill in their gulags, in their work camps? What, 20 million, was it? But anyway, they were just work camps. And so anyway, it's a real tragedy. And Mel Gibson says, hey, it's my dad, and that's true, but his back is against the wall, and he should condemn his father's statements unequivocally. He should say, my father is wrong, it's racist, and it's destructive. That's what Mel Gibson should do. All right, let's go to Indianapolis. One of our dearest friends from the show, Neil Copley. How are you, Neil?
Doing well, Bob. How are you?
Good. So well. Thanks.
Good. I just finished Unlocking the Mystery of Life.
You watched it.
That is incredible, Bob.
Is it a good video or what?
And if you could just to give a teaser, how Mount Rushmore and an outboard motor and how those all relate. That's amazing.
Well, that video, which shows that to have life, you have to have a creator, and it can't come from evolution. It can't.
That's right.
That video aired in Denver on Channel 6, which is our big public TV station in Colorado, in the whole Rocky Mountain region. And it
that
aired on
amazing.
It aired on other PBS stations around the country. And it's probably the best anti-evolution video out right now. And, Neil, let me tell you, so we're selling it, of course.
Sure.
People can call us or go to kgov.com. If anybody goes to Google and they type in quotes, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, the name of the video, 2,770 web pages.
Wow.
They're hits. And kgov.com is on the first screen of Google hits, the first screen. We're not even the bottom one. And it's really cool.
Well, that's good for everybody then.
Yeah, and so people click on that and they go right to the KGov store. Yeah, and Bob and Yurt Live, you know, we sell it for the going price, $24.95 plus shipping and handling, which is probably $3.95, I guess. And, you know, and probably $10, $15, $12 of that goes, probably $10 goes to Bob and Yurt Live. And that helps us stay on the air. And isn't it a great video, Neil?
It is wonderful. I mean, just with the graphics, too.
Yeah.
Just showing the complexity of a cell. And I immediately thought, remember the in 1977 when I saw the Death Star being constructed.
Yeah.
And Star Wars. And it's like, well, how lame was that thing?
Yeah, right.
Because I'm sure they had hundreds of thousands of people building this incredible Death Star.
Right.
But the Death Star could not recreate itself on the inside while it was doing all of its little things.
No, it couldn't. And then in this video, what's so neat about it is I've told people that if they've seen – what's the nature videos on PBS?
What is it, Nova?
Nova.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the production quality in Nova is fabulous.
Sure.
Well, the production quality in Unlocking the Mystery of Life is fabulous, like Nova, only the animation is better.
I agree.
The animation is better than anything Nova's ever done. It is fabulous showing how the cell operates. A cell is more complex than a Boeing 747 jet.
It is amazing. It is really amazing.
And you see it work, and when you see it, you know, your eyes can tell you a lot. You see it, and you realize evolution is a lie.
And not only that, just how big God is.
How big.
Just a glimpse.
And how brilliant.
And at the same time, in my car as I'm driving around, I'm listening to your Roman study right now.
Oh.
And I'm just so blown away by everything.
Oh, by God, His Word. Hey, Neil.
It's been a wonderful week for me.
Neil, this morning, I left the house at 3:30, 4 o'clock this morning,
mm-hmm.
had a run to the airport, then met a listener at a Starbucks who bought 5 of Walt Brown's books in the beginning.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we handed them off in a brown paper bag, exchanged cash. and then Neil, some guy comes through, and I recognize him. I say, hey, Bruce. He said, Bob Enyart. We haven't seen each other in, I don't know, a year or more. And he said, Bob, I've been listening to the Romans Bible study album. It is so cool. And it is cool, isn't it? The book of Romans is awesome. Hey, Neil, his favorite part. Thank
you. Just like the last time I spoke with you, Bob, the music is drowning everything out.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, Neil. And that's, well, we're at the end of the show, but that music, we got a problem with that music. It blows the caller's eardrums. That's sad. But, yeah, the neat thing about Romans, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it deals with people who have never heard the gospel. And also you get a little bit in chapter 5 and chapter 7. And you piece it together. And it's just awesome what God has to say about these topics. And, you know, generally, as Christians, I think we're comfortable not understanding the Bible. Because you read the Bible, all you have to do is read one page and count how many times it seems to contradict what you believe. Just try that as an exercise. Do the poke and hope, not led by the Spirit method. Just open the Bible to a page and read one page and mark every place it seems to contradict what you believe. And so the more we understand the Bible, the more we enjoy it. Doesn't that make sense? That's why we've got the plot manuscript to help people understand the Bible. Hey, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.